the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
In the city, hundreds of students walked out of school, marching to Grant Park and eventually Federal Plaza, taking part in a nationwide walkout. Students are calling on lawmakers to invest more money in combating gun violence, and the demonstration falls on the 19th anniversary of Columbine.
I really think it's amazing. At first, I thought it was only going to be like a couple schools, but the turnout has been amazing from like all the different types of schools. I think it's amazing. It's like crazy.
Guns are out there and they're threatening our lives, and we don't know if we're going to be the next person to get shot.
Shame. Huge participation here in the Chicago area as well.
Right.
Nationwide, something like a couple thousand schools. Is that what you said?
But you do have kind of a funny story about this.
Oh, yeah. I was driving this morning, and it came on ABC News. It came on WGN, and that they were doing a walkout, and I'm driving my six-year-old kindergartner to school, and she says, do I get to walk out of school today?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not when you're six.
No, get back in there.
Get in school and learn something.
If you want to have good ACT scores, you're going to get back there.
That's right.
Yeah, what? What? Don't yell at me.
And you'll play the violin and love it, just like I had to.
Are you going to make her play the violin?
Not yet. But I have it hanging out around the house, and sometimes, you know, I encourage her, take a little look at it.
But isn't the violin a little harder to, I mean, it's, to leave it out. I mean, drums you leave out, and they start to play and gravitate toward.
Yeah.
But the violin, because it's a two-handed kind of a deal.
She still picks it up, and she's curious, but it's a long way from
she's violin curious?
Violin curious.
Okay, good.
I think today's kids don't want to leave the EDM mixing equipment out so they can pay for your retirement.
Right. I do try to force coding on her.
You're going to learn to rip off every pop hook from the 60s, 70s, and 80s and make it your own and play it to a bunch of Molly-ingesting losers. I mean, to kids.
All she wants to do is sing and dance, though, so she's not picking up on
anything. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's six, people. Leave her alone. Yeah.
A couple of five-year-olds are looking pretty sharp that are coming up already, though. She's got to watch out for them.
Here's the thing, Violetta. You see what we're trying to do here? We're trying to keep her in school. We'd like to make her, you know, like she'll cure cancer, do something else, and not end up in show folk business like we are.
Hey, I was a little girl once. Whatever you tell them to do, they do the opposite. So leave her alone.
Still, yeah.
You could just say, I'm me. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do the opposite.
Oh, my gosh.
Which western suburb are we going to again?
I don't think it's a suburb. I think I'm on to them here.
Is it a college?
No, it's a cottage or a house.
Oh, geez. Whatever you do, if you hear any kind of strange noises, don't go out to investigate them yourselves.
No, I'm not going unless the hot tub's on.
And if you start running, don't fall as you're being chased.
A cottage doesn't sound like a place Boris hangs out at.
It depends on who else goes.
Right. For a meeting.
Yes, sir, don't worry, I get to meet the guys. They're coming. They need to pick a package.
Why can't we go in the basement?
Oh, gosh.
What's in that door?
A van is going to pull up. Now everybody stay inside.
Anybody seen the dog? Where'd the dog go? Yeah.
What was that noise?
What is that sound? We should go investigate it.
What are all those pallets?
Look at these fascinating photos of 19th century people with their eyes gouged out on the walls in this one room. I wonder what that means.
Okay, stop. You guys are scaring me.
Oh, you're going to really love this. It's really going to be good. All right. We move on now.
Number four.
I've been waiting for this all day.
I know you have. I've been waiting for you to enjoy this.
The president, apparently, 3 decades ago, he wanted so badly in the early 1980s to be on the Forbes 400 list of richest Americans that he couldn't. He berated the writer, who ended up turning out to be Jonathan Greenberg, who's a very respected journalist now, but he was a young kid working at Forbes. And they made him in charge of culling this list together and interviewing some of the millionaires and billionaires who are going to be on the list. So Trump didn't make the list because they had Trump's net worth at like $200 million. So Trump's publicist, and I'm doing that thing with my fingers right now, the air quotes. Trump's publicist, John Barron, and you might remember that John Barron was already outed a year ago as Donald Trump himself, right? He was Trump used to call people in the press and drop notes about things as a publicist named John Barron. By the way, Donald John Trump's son is named Barron, in case you're just wondering how he came up with the name.
Crazy.
Anyway, so he calls up. Now listen to this. This kid thinks he's talking to Donald Trump, real estate developer in the 1980s, who's trying to he thinks he's talking to John Barron, the publicist for Donald Trump, trying to explain why Donald Trump is such an important guy and worth so much money.
Okay, what's your first name, Donald?
John Barron. Well, let me tell you what the deal is, just so you understand.
Okay, Mr. Trump.
First of all, most of the assets have been consolidated to Mr. Trump, you know, because you have down Fred Trump. And I'd like to talk to you off the record if I can, just to make your thing easier.
Okay, sure.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. But I think you can really use Donald Trump now, and you can just consolidate. I think last year somebody showed me the article, and I think you had 200 and 200. And really, it's pretty well consolidated now for the most part. As I also think somebody had mentioned that you had asked about that, or somebody had, and it's been pretty well consolidated. Okay?
Okay, so what he's doing there is he's trying to take his brother's name off because he was sharing it with him, trying to take him off the list of so that he would alone he would consolidate all of those assets for Forbes publicity purposes under his name. His brother died of alcoholism, right? About a decade later. Is there more of this?
Yes.
Listen to what he says about Fred, who was a guy who was his older brother who he looked up to, but didn't, you know. And you could tell that Donald John Trump was the kid that in the family no one was paying enough attention to when you hear this.
So that's one point that you can.
Is that including the residential?
Yes, everything's been consolidated basically now, and over the last couple of years they've been working on it, and I guess that's sort of come out now, pretty much come out where people understand that, but it's been pretty well consolidated.
Does Fresham make money management decisions?
Oh yeah, sure. He's the chairman. Donald's the president, and Fred Trump is active. He's an excellent guy, and you know how they're very close. The relationship of the two is, as you know, very close, as you've heard or know, or perhaps you don't know. But Fred Trump is active in the business too.
Yeah, we have this really strange technical thing, Mr. Brown, in terms of who holds the equity. I mean, are you saying that perhaps for tax purposes, the ownership has been transferred to Donald Trump?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, and would you say, in excess of 90% of the ownership, I believe?
I'd say in excess of 90%. In fact, it's really closer to even the ultimate, but it's in excess of 90%, yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So he's trying to get everybody else's name off of the thing, trying to make himself bigger than he was. And it turns out, if you read the whole story here that came out, is that he totally inflated what everything was worth. Mm. At one point, he admits to as Donald Trump, he calls the guy back to yell at him because he's not high enough. And he gets into a fight with him about how much the apartments in Brooklyn are worth. And he goes, these apartments in Brooklyn are worth $20,000. No, $40,000 a piece. They go, oh, all right, maybe it's 20. Whatever. Anyway, the point is.
So did he make it on the list?
He eventually did, yeah. But he fought. And then he had Roy Cohen, his attorney, call this guy to threaten him.
Jeez.
Because he wasn't getting
Roy
on
Cohen,
the list.
Cohen. Not Michael.
Roy Cohen. The original Roy Cohen.
Oh.
That guy. The guy that, you know,
Joe McCarthy's
pit bull, Roy Cohen, called this guy in the early 80s to yell at him and cajole him into writing about how rich Donald Trump was.
Jeez.
But don't you love that? It's Donald Trump holding his nose and talking fast.
Oh, my gosh. He's really bad.
He uses all the same expressions.
Exactly.
As you know, people are saying, as you know, maybe you don't know, but as you should know, you know, it's all the same stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. I just want to say, if Barack Obama had done one of these things, I don't care.
Any
Take anything from the last 18 months. He would have been impeached and probably jailed.
Could you imagine Barack Obama calling somebody?
His father was actually a great guy. Great guy. No.
He'd be like, what? Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Well, that's what. I mean, really? Really? Okay. Okay, trolls. Come at me for it, but what do I care? That is the truth right there. Wow. All right, your three, your two, and your one coming your way. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
North Korea says it has suspended nuclear and long-range missile tests.
See, that's going well.
Yes, some good news, possibly.
See, there you go. Why isn't anybody talking about that?
I am going to be at 5:30.
All right.
Just you wait.
Violetta?
Fly to the front of the line at LitFest on June 9th and 10th with a FestPass. Get yours before they're gone. Printers Row, litfest.org/FestPass.
Top 5 of 5 is continuing right here. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
After season 1's fiery conclusion, the women of Westworld are leading the charge in season 2. Oh. Tandy Newton, right?
I love her.
Tandy Newton.
Plays the newly self-aware android Maeve.
Spoiler alert.
We know she's an android. Her head came off. So they put it back
on.
Does
that tell you that?
Yeah.
She still operates.
Yeah, she's still, right.
Works out.
And she talks about her strategy for keeping track of the show's very tricky timelines. You do kind of get a little lost in this show. Mm.
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of post-its. And friendship, too. Like, we think nothing of just saying to each other, what's happening? But the truth is that the writer who is on set the whole time, each episode has a new writer. But that each writer has such a strong sense of the whole season. They are always there to be just to check in with them.
I don't understand. I don't understand her answer.
That's pretty tricky, too. And each episode has a new writer, a different writer. Yeah, I'd like to have that one showrunner there at all times who is overseeing everything. I've seen the first, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah, I did
season
too.
Two.
I got lost.
Completely lost.
Yeah, that's
really?
Why I stopped watching. But you said to watch it, Ro. You're
No.
Get back into it.
For people who started it, there was a way to start it and you go, I don't understand what's going on here. And then by the time you get through the arc, it starts to straighten out and explain itself. And then all of your confusion becomes part of the joy of it.
Right.
But this, I don't, you know, we'll just have to see.
Well, I'm saying I after the first season, they sent me the first 5 of the second season, and I've realized that that's no advantage, that it's better to watch the episodes every Sunday, because then you get a lot of folks explaining it to you on the Twitter and everything. And instead, I'm waiting for everybody, and it kind of takes away the fun of it, too. I mean, I know everybody likes to binge watch, but it's like, you know, because I'm like, well, what happened? I am halfway through, I guess, season 2, and I'm going to go back and start watching them week
to
week.
I think it's worth another look.
And see, I don't know who's going to be back and who's not going to be back, because I don't know who was an android and who wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, that's a problem.
That tells you something.
Well, you get a sense of who they are, because their heads come off, and then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Wait a second. You know, you see wires and stuff, and you're like, oh, I get it. And just to think, it was based on that really bizarro, was it Richard Benjamin was in that movie in the 70s?
Yul Brynner was it is indeed.
It's a Michael Crichton concept.
Yeah.
It was a Michael Crichton book.
Genius concept, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
Travis Turner is one of the stars of the new Netflix animated series Spy Kids. He voices a black character, but it turns out he's white. So TMZ caught up with him, of course, and is like, is it okay that a black guy is playing a white guy in a cartoon?
You know what? If they want, they can say whatever. I have thought about that, but also I have a track with Dub C right now. I have a track with Snoop coming out. I actually come from like an urban background. I come from like, I've lived in motels, you know, people to what I am at now. What I'm trying to say is I relate to the urban community. Okay, I know you guys are all on me right now, which is cool. You know what? Like I said earlier, I sponsor you, Black Kids.
Oh no!
Oh,
poor kid.
He's a kid, and they're on him, and they're asking this, and he's a little ambushed, which is what TMZ does when Harvey's not sipping on a gigantic drink. I don't. I mean. And then, but I love the, but this is the American logic right now, which is, hey, I lived in a motel.
That's, wow, that was, wow.
For a moment.
He's a kid.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, what do you do? Hey, the poor kid, what do you do?
I mean, that's a tough question. It's like, you really don't deserve the job you're in. Explain why you do. And you're a kid. So, I mean, he did. There were several missteps in there that should have been like the publicity manager should have kind
of. The real unfortunate in that scenario is the 35-year-old wielding a camera outside of an airport or a restaurant badgering a kid.
Yeah, I think that's
And then
right.
selling the tape.
All right. Well, all I know is this. To let the kid be the kid. Let the spy kids be the spy kids. Why can't we just all get along? All right, and this will not help us either.
Oh, no.
And finally, because it is 420.
Oh, jeez.
Number one.
Jack Johnson. The musician, not the boxer, right? Because the boxer's dead, I believe. Yeah. Is apparently not so great at playing poker. At least not while smoking pot with Willie Nelson. He's got a new song out called Willie Got Me Stoned. And Johnson recounts a true story where he ended up too broke to even take a cab home after hanging out with Willie Nelson and smoking weed.
Willie got me stoned and took all my money. I was $50 up and then my mind went funny. It didn't really help that I didn't know the rules of the game. And it probably didn't help that I couldn't remember my name after Willie got me stoned and took all my cash. One high-low split and then he kicked my ass. He gave me knuckles across the table and then my mind went blurry. Just like a puff of smoke, all my cash went up in a hurry after Willie got me stoned, took me for everything I had. I had to walk home, I had no money for a cab. I didn't have the heart to ask anybody for a ride. And nobody in the room looked any condition to drive.
Gosh.
There you go.
Wonder what Willie's doing today on 420.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet Willie wonders what he's doing today on 420.
Sure.
The top five at five.